polluted. Absolutely. You have been polluted. Now let's continue to listen to Fred as he gives us more information about the man that he really is.
Pettiness. I can't deal. I refuse to deal with it. I won't deal with it. And when you mentioned about this letter concerning these six churches that wouldn't participate because of where you were going to be located, I would like to withdraw the offer of Crenshaw Christian Center.
Now, you know why he did that? Because there was such a spirit in that room, the way those pastors was looking at that man. The whole spirit of it was taken out. He withdrew the invitation of that building. That's why I went, people. That's why I went. My film crew was in awe, and I was motioning to them, just film this. And it wasn't the fact that I had won. The fact that when you go and speak boldly God's words to these people, whom some of these people have set up as some kind of icon. Look, let me tell you something. Fred Price, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, come on, Noel Jones. Come on, let me. Kenneth Omer, all these, Jack Aford, all these people. None of these people are anything. Do you people hear me? Anything, just like I'm not anything. And if you don't get it through your minds, and I'm mentioning names here, because what you've done is you've almost made these people gods. Oh, I'll say John MacArthur's not anything, he's just a preacher. And all he's supposed to do is what God told him to do. Once you start giving these people and placing these people, and I believe MacArthur would say this, once you start putting him in a position, which is tantamount to almost hero people worship, you're wrong. And that's why he withdrew the invitation, because he saw the face. As a matter of fact, on the camera, you can see some of the pastor's head bowing at the table. Now, you know, some people would say, well, see, well, you came there with a devil spirit. No, I didn't come there with the devil spirit. I came there with the same spirit that Jesus and his disciples and the apostles walked in and busted up meetings, and just like Paul did when he confronted Peter to his face in Antioch. I guess he busted that up, too. You see, all of this stuff, well, come on, John, you messed up the meeting. We're supposed to be getting together. That's what it's all about, isn't it? So that's why he declined. And he didn't have to do that. Why didn't he just say, you know what? I don't even know what you got that guy in here for. What's he messing up my game for? Because he knew, it's true, he knew that those guys didn't go along with that mess that he teaches over there. And when a person is screaming for credibility, this is the way they act when they get caught in their mess. And this is why for years people have been trying to catch me in some mess and try, well, we're going to do to him what he's done to other people. Well, you keep on doing it. Because if you catch me in some mess doctrinally, then you've caught me in some mess. You will never catch me in any mess doctrinally. You may catch me in some mess telling somebody to get his behind off of the church lot like I did, and I told somebody in some very clear and decisive words to remove his derriere off of the church lot lest I put it off. And that brought about the dumping me out of a ministry. Well, I apologize for that. You know, the people didn't even believe I was serious. But man, when somebody tells me some stuff in my office that I got told that night, you need to get off the lot. I don't play people. I don't play with human beings. I don't play with organizations. I don't play the games that they play. John Coleman will never play the game. Into the Word Ministries will never play it. Anselm Fellowship will never play it. I tell them at Anselm, once you all start playing, I'm booking. That means I'm out of here. I don't have to put up with this. Anybody that thinks that you have to put up with that kind of stuff that this man is talking is completely out of your mind. But let me continue to listen to him, because you're not convinced yet, are you? I'm trying to convince you during this second week. Proof, too, Keep talking, Fred.
Draw the offer of Crenshaw Christian Center only for the reason that I don't want to be a part of something that's going to hinder people.
Well, your doctrine hinders people, man. Your doctrine hinders people. That's all I'm saying.
From coming together.
Coming together, right.
I thought this was something that was bigger than that.
It is, Fred. I really is, Fred.
No, you heard Jack Hayford say that it is. Now, what is the something bigger that he, you know, brings into the conversation here? Oh, you're thinking that it was just praying, right? No. Man, you got to understand human nature. You've got to understand human nature. It was much bigger than that. Let's go back to Acts chapter 19. Christianity was having an effect on the city of Ephesus. And people were being saved. And something had begun to take place in the city. And a man named Demetrius, who made silver shrines and was selling these shrines for profit in the city of Ephesus, his sales had gone down because Christianity was growing in popularity and the Christians were burning their devil books. And Paul was performing miracles and people were coming to Christ. And Demetrius got a little bent because his money thing had kind of like gone down a little bit. In verse 24 of Acts chapter 19, it says, "For a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who made silver shrines of Artemis, was bringing no little business to the craftsmen. These," that is, these craftsmen, "he gathered together with the workmen of similar trades and said, 'Men, you know that our prosperity depends upon this business.'" Now, I find this verse very interesting, Christian friends of mine, because here the writer Luke is talking about prosperity and business. And so when Fred Price says to Jack Hayford, "I thought that it was bigger than this," and Hayford says, "It is," well, what is the "is" that's bigger than this? It is the business people of doing church. God never had that intention. See, and when you see the parallels, oh no, I'm not painting a bad picture here. I'm painting one that's right in front of your face, and I think that what you guys need to do is you need to hear me on this. You need to hear me on this. Why do you think Ken Omer bought the Forum? And so that African-American people can be prosperous and have a business. I'm providing jobs for the community. Wherever Christianity comes in, Christianity is not providing business. Christianity is in direct opposition to making business. Christianity is expansion of the kingdom of God. Now, if you think that Jack Hayford and Fred Price's conversation in that little cut right there was talking about spreading the word of God, and you know what Hayford believes, and you also know what Price believes, well, then you have another thought coming. There's something rotten in Denmark.
I just refuse to. I have enough to do with dealing with Satan and demonic forces and to have to deal with so-called Christians.
Nah, that's me. I'm the so-called Christian. And then what he does is he pits me against Satan and demonic forces. Can you believe that? Man, you're not dealing with no Satan and demonic forces. If you are, you're dealing with it within your life. Your doctrine is messed up. I said, why don't you spend, basically I was saying, why don't you spend some of this time dealing with the truth of the scriptures instead of Satan and demonic forces? You see, that's a ploy to get people to, oh, yeah, he's for us. No. Keep talking, Fred.
That may be my failing, so you pray about that. But I don't even want to be a part of something hindering those six churches. Man, that grieves my heart deeply.
Now, you know that his heart is not grieved deeply for those six churches. Basically, he was laughing at those churches because he's so proud of himself. See, the Bible says pride comes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. When you got that place over there and you're so big and, well, you know, you can kind of look at six churches and, well, if you just listen, let me rewind that a little bit, and I want you to listen to the whole statement within its context, and you'll be able to pick up how he really feels about those particular six churches.
A part of something hindering those six churches, man, that grieves my heart deeply that the offer of simply a place to come and meet together. I mean, I never thought about doctrine. You know, doctrine is what screwed the church up all this time anyway.
Well, I played the cut again. I never thought about doctrine. Now, we're going to take a little time talking about this. I never thought about doctrine. Now, is there something inherently wrong with that to you? Does that? I mean, come on. I never thought about, and I'm not doctoring these tapes. I'm giving them.